the stage. Let's give it up for Ralph and Ruth Sureski. I'm going to ask them to stand over here. Ralph and Ruth Sureski have been Alliance missionaries for a long time, and they have had a long-time connection with North Shore Alliance. And we adopted Ralph and Ruth many years ago as missionaries from our church, partly because they make their home in South Surrey, which is quite close to us. And it's hard to find Alliance missionaries serving overseas who have a home base close to home. They've ministered for the last 32 years in Germany, shining the light of Jesus and planting several unique churches in Heidelberg and Mannheim areas. I had a chance to go visit there back in February. It was awesome. The Shereskis are retiring from full-time ministry in 2020. So next year, they've got about 6 or 8 months left to go. And before they teach today, I want to take a moment to honor them like we did with Gaylene a few weeks back. I've chosen some very special verses that I know you guys love too from Isaiah chapter 56 today, verses 6 to 8. The Lord says, to foreigners who bind themselves to the Lord to minister to him, to love the name of the Lord, and to be his servants, and who hold fast to my covenant, these I will bring to my holy mountain and give them joy in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations. The sovereign Lord declares, those who gather the exiles of Israel, I will gather still others to them besides those already gathered. So I have a two-point message for you. One will be in the 9 o'clock service, and the second point will be in the 11 o'clock service, so you guys could stick around if you want to hear that. I wouldn't if I were you. My first point is this. Ralph and Ruth, your deep love for the Lord inspires us. Every time I hang around with you guys, I'm inspired. That vision that the Lord gave you many years ago of a landing strip for airplanes or for the Holy Spirit to land right in your neighborhood still sits with me, and I have that conversation with many people who've heard you talk about the vision God gave you for a landing strip for the Holy Spirit in your neighborhood. When I've hung out with you in coffee shops, in church, in prayer, in your neighborhood, in your home, you radiate the presence of Jesus, and you have bound yourselves to the Lord as his servants and followed his call. It's been a challenging call to leave your first culture, sometimes often to leave family, to go to Germany, a spiritually dark part of our world, Western Europe in the aftermath of the great 20th century wars, a nation hardened to the Christian story. It hasn't been easy. You've had to leave family. You've had to learn new culture, language. You've been battling cancer several times through that journey. You've had to reinvent yourselves for ministry to the perpetual generations of new young adults that God seems to always bring your way. And all along, you've listened to his voice and obeyed the call of the Lord. And we want to say, well done, Ralph and Ruth. You've been such faithful servants of Jesus, and your deep love for the Lord inspires us. I'm going to invite Mark Peters now to come forward and elect us to stand. And Mark has a prayer, a blessing for Ralph and Ruth.
Every Sunday, we conclude, the final word every Sunday is a word of blessing. And as the two of you know full well, to speak a word of blessing is an act of faith. Because when we speak a word of blessing, it's not about wishful thinking. It's a word spoken prophetically about the future. And so on behalf of our church, I would like to speak some words of blessing to the two of you in the season of transition. And so Ralph and Ruth, we bless the two of you with much laughter, with new adventures, and with fresh creativity. Forget the former things, says the Lord. Behold, I'm doing something new. And Ralph and Ruth, we want to bless the two of you with purpose and meaning. What the two of you do in terms of vocation is not to be confused with who you are. The two of you are more than your role. You have always been, and you will always be. And the two of you will continue to be a part of God's gift to the world. And we bless the two of you with joy, deep, wide, abiding joy. May you know the joy of one another's company, the joy of fellowship with God's people, and the joy of communion with the Lord himself. And so, Father, we bless you for Ruth and for Ralph, for their faith, for their faithfulness, for their friendship. We are richer because we know them. And we pray that they would know the fullness of your blessing and provision now and forever. And all God's people agreed and said, amen. Amen.
Oh, well, I should have brought more Kleenex up here with me. Good to be with you again. We've always been so blessed by our times here. We've always felt so welcomed and so understood by you. And just appreciate being able to be back with you today. Yeah, we're in transition. We're trying to figure out what the next season looks like. We're trying to figure out what the present season looks like. So we are officially on home assignment until the end of July next year, so we'll be speaking in different churches. And then we're retiring, whatever that means, but we're definitely not checking out. We're looking at a plan for some trips back to Europe. We have one of our sons married a German, and they're there with their three little ones, so of course we're going to go back and visit them, but also that's still our family, the community there, so we will definitely wanting to go back. As we put our prayer card together this time, our last prayer card, we recently did a Thanksgiving thing in the Tawasin Church, which was our sending church, and we had all our prayer cards, starting back with the cracked one now that has us with our two little boys on our lap, and all the way through. So interesting to see the evolution. But this was our last one, and we thought, what do we write on there? Because we can't write serving with the CMA in Germany anymore. So we settled, after some prayer and thinking about it, on a line that we feel like is hopefully describing the rest of our lives, not just the next season, fueling passion for the King and his kingdom. When you go out for a drink or a meal in Germany, and you sit at the restaurant, they always bring the drinks first. The protocol, the etiquette is no one starts sipping their drink right away till everyone has their drinks, and then you toast each other. And that's always the way we start. Sometimes we do communion that way as well. And our favorite toast is to the King and his kingdom. And this always just reminds us that that's what we're about, seeking first the kingdom. And that's what we want to always have as our focus also for this next season of our lives.
Okay. On the back of our prayer card, we have a number of information pieces there and a couple of prayer requests. They both start with the letter M. I should have brought some M&Ms today. It would help you remember. Probably gave them all out at Halloween. I don't know if you have any left, but try and remember that. Multiplication and mobilization. That's kind of summarizing what we're asking you to pray for as we continue to keep in touch with the folks in Heidelberg, that God would bring multiplication, more disciples, more people coming to know Christ, multiplication of leaders, and multiplication of what we call missional communities. And we heard in a fax or a Skype call yesterday that there were, 2 weeks ago, 10 new students had come into the city who were looking for an English-speaking church and landed with us. And so when you're 30, 35 people trying to get into a little apartment, it's not working so well. But next Sunday, we often have a brunch Sunday. They're going to meet in two different locations. So this is kind of the early stages of trying to work towards multiplying that community. And also mobilization, that God continue to stir our hearts with his presence. And that's a big part of why we're here in Canada for this season. Thank you so much. You, like no other church in our ministry, have journeyed with us. Dave has been one of those representatives, Mark as well, who've just worked with us and walked with us and partnered with us. Thank you for giving, for partnering with us financially, for prayer. There are so many wonderful people who've been praying for us, and we thank you. You've kept us going. What we call the Global Advance Fund keeps the, as we say, the schnitzel on the table and the sprit in the gas tank so we can drive fast on the Autobahn while we try and keep it down. But thank you for partnering with us and making our lives possible in these wonderful years that we've had.
And you might think that it's odd for us to remind you about the Global Advance Fund because we're just about done, but there are a whole crew of wonderful young adults and people at different stages of their life waiting to go out to some of the hardest places in the world. So this is what the Global Advance Fund does. It makes it possible for the CMA to send out new people to new places. So, yeah, just don't forget it. Just don't think, oh, Ralph and Ruth are done now. Gaylene's done now. We don't have to give to Global Advance anymore. Thank you, just for all that support and for the prayer that goes along with it. We've had this mental image of fire as we've talked about fueling and stirring up and that kind of language. We've had this picture of fire. We've had several prophetic words about fire. And I just want to help you think a little bit about how the fire is used in the scripture. There's sometimes that fire represents God's judgment, but it often also just is a representative of his presence. So just think through a few things from the Old Testament. God sealed his covenant with Abraham with supernatural fire. Moses heard God's voice out of a bush that was burning but not consumed. The people of Israel were led through the desert by a pillar of cloud by day and fire by night. Fire came down on the sacrifice to show Gideon that God was with him. Elijah called down fire from heaven to consume the sacrifice. That was a clear message to the pagan priests that Elijah's God was the one true God, alive and active. One of my favorite pictures is that in the tabernacle and later in the temple, the fire was to be kept burning on the altar 24/7. It was a reminder of the presence of God, and the priests were very careful to tend that fire and never let it go out. One of my favorite stories in the New Testament is the disciples on the road to Emmaus, and I love how they talked about, didn't our hearts burn within us? It's like we should have known that was Jesus because our hearts were burning within us. Because of his presence and his revelation to them from the word, their hearts were burning. And this is one of the things we keep reminding ourselves in Heidelberg. We keep saying it's all about the presence. It's about the presence of Christ. It's about hosting the presence of Christ. It's about making room for the presence of Christ. It's about spending time in prayer and worship to sort of cultivate that heart, that burning heart. When we spend time close to the fiery heart of Jesus, our hearts will burn as well. We'll catch the fire of his love for the nations, his desire that all people are saved and come to an experience of the truth. This morning, we'd like to briefly introduce you to our community in Heidelberg, which we call New Song. And this name is based on the scene described in Revelation 5:9, where people from every tribe and nation gather before the throne and they sing a new song. They're a group of about 30 to 35 people right now, growing. Most of them are young adults. And they're from many different nations. They're people whose hearts burn for Jesus. We just got a WhatsApp message from a girl who's just joined the community, and she was writing to some of her friends saying, I found my church. I just moved to Heidelberg to study. I found my church already. And they are full of hearts, burning hearts for Jesus. That's how she described it. Their hearts burn for Jesus. And so that was exciting for us to hear. They're led by an amazing team of leaders made up of, I'll start on the left, Lewis Martin, who's a German. He's an engineer. Carissa Gilbertson is a CMA Alliance IW international worker. And Eric and Yana Supin, he's Nigerian, she's German. And they have worked with Youth with a Mission for many years, and now they're serving with us, and he continues to teach with YWAM and to write books and do all kinds of other ministries. So although we're no longer there, we hope that you will continue to pray for and connect with and bless this community as they pursue this vision. Here's a vision statement: to influence, equip, and release disciple-making disciples of Jesus Christ. Fueled, there's that fueling again, fueled by apostolic vision, prophetic insight, and the love of Christ, who multiply missional communities in Heidelberg, and beyond. We call ourselves a missional community to remind ourselves it's not just community. Community is pretty easy to have, but being missional isn't always so easy. So we want to be a family on mission with the goal of developing a network of these communities. Heidelberg is full of international students, postdoctoral researchers, business people, new immigrants, just goes on, and people are constantly coming in and going out again. And we realize that some of these people come from countries where they have never had an opportunity to hear about Jesus and the new life that he provided. So we want to step into that window of time while they're in Heidelberg and be able to share the good news with them and disciple them and then send them on their way again, often back to their home country. So we're just going to show you a quick video that'll give you a little bit of a picture of the community of New Song. You notice there are a lot of pictures of living rooms and tables there. A friend of ours who works a lot in Europe says, in Europe, the churches are emptying and the living rooms are filling with people who are seeking God. I want to introduce you to Drew. He was called specifically to Heidelberg by God after coming two times with a prayer team. So be careful where you go with a prayer team. He comes from a house church in South Carolina. And this spring, he actually moved to Heidelberg by faith, got a job, and he's serving in any way he can. He's wonderful, especially with his gifts of bringing people together and prophetic prayer. We'll just let him share a little bit.
My name is Drew, and I'm from USA. So one thing I love about missional community, and that's why I'm here.
I like watching these videos because they were taken on our balcony, and that was our view every day, so you can imagine feeling a little homesick for that. I'll tell you about Gowen. Gowen came from South Korea to study medicine in Germany, even though it would have been much easier for her to stay and study in her own language. She came and learned German and studied and has now completed her studies to become a doctor. She just believed that God was calling her to Germany to come there and to be a missionary, really, and to serve his kingdom there. She was the first person on the ground in Heidelberg. We knew her in the Mannheim church, and then she moved to Heidelberg, and she began praying, actually, before New Song even existed. She has a heart on fire for prayer and healing and evangelism. And then Melly and Simeon, they're leaders in the community as well. Melanie is a very gifted evangelist. She can and does talk to anybody about Jesus anywhere. And she constantly invites neighbors and friends to our community gatherings and into their home. And Simeon is also now a doctor. He's from South Africa. And in spite of shift work and long hours, he commits himself together with Melly to spend hours of prayer each week for the community, for friends who don't know Jesus yet. They love hosting neighbors and hosting people from the community. And finally, I want you to have a chance to hear from a young couple who are our first missionaries, the first people to go out and go beyond Heidelberg from our community there, Caro and Simon. Caro was one of our first small group leaders. She came into our ministry and really was transformed by understanding who she is in Jesus. That's really the big thing that we saw transforming her life. And now we'll let you just hear from them in their lovely German accents. They're just beautiful people.
Hello, we are Caroline and Simon from Germany. And we will move to Kenya in January 2000.
No. Thank you. Yeah, don't you just want to reach out and hug that couple? They're just so genuine in their faith, and what a story they have. Caro, as Ruth said, just totally transformed. And so we've been learning with these young adults to fuel this fire, passion for God. They often say, well, you're our spiritual mother and father. You've kind of led us in the faith, and we want to be around you. And we say it out loud, and if not just to ourselves, actually, it's the other way around. We want to be with you guys. We're trying to run to keep up with you guys. You're so amazing. And so it's very much the sense of these young adults keeping us alive for the one who gave himself for us. So we're following hard after this one Jesus, who is the one who initiates, who lights this passion in our hearts. He's the ultimate passionate one. Jesus is so fiery. John had this vision in Revelation chapter 1 of the Lord Jesus. He says, among other things, he says, his eyes are like blazing fire. He saw this vision of Jesus, talks about his white hair and the other parts of his clothing, his blazing bronzed feet. But he particularly highlights, or at least it strikes me, his eyes are like blazing fire. Jesus was a fiery, passionate person. You know, the story, it's told, I think, three times in the Gospels about him coming to the temple and cleansing the temple. And one of the Gospels, I think it's John chapter 2, says that a comment about what he did, why he cleansed the temple, was that the passion or the zeal, the fire for the house of God consumed him. He was consumed by the rightful usage of this temple, of this place of worship. And it says also that it was to be a place, a house of prayer for all the nations. So it's about the presence and also the proclamation and the praying for the nations. So you see Jesus fueled by his Father and by this love for people. And John, as he was going to baptize Jesus, he says, I've been baptizing for the repentance, like turning away from my sinful life and turning towards God and also turning towards this one that is coming. He was announcing, he was preparing the way for Jesus coming. And he says, I've been baptizing with water, but the one that is coming, he's more powerful than I am. I'm not even worthy to bend down and untie his sandals. He's going to baptize, and I love this translation, with the spirit of holiness and with raging fire. So Jesus came to baptize with the spirit of holiness and with raging fire. And I know that Jesus was encountered by his Father at that baptism. He heard the voice saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And so Jesus was empowered with the same fire from his Father. And our desire is to tend to this fire, to be so captured by the love of Christ for us that we would be able to keep the same kind of passion that he has for the world as he demonstrated. A wonderful passage in Romans chapter 12, verse 11. Ruth referred to some Old Testament passages. Also this passage in the Gospels about Jesus encountering these two young men on the way, or who may have been a couple, we don't know, on the way to Emmaus, and how their hearts were burning inside them. So this idea of burning and wanting to fuel this fire, Paul says in Romans 12, several different translations. I'm translating from a wonderful German version, the New Geneva translation. And these are the words in equivalent in English. Let the fire of the Holy Spirit become ever stronger in you. Let the fire burn that was ignited in you. Or the Message translation, don't burn out, but keep yourselves fueled and aflame. Fueled with two L's, it's British. Just like keeping you awake here, hopefully. Another translation says, keep your passion toward him boiling hot. Be fiery. Another translation says, be fiery in the spirit. Now, these are in the command form. They're in imperative form. They're not some nice, polite suggestions. It's not written by a Canadian. If you wouldn't mind, if it's not too difficult, you know, I'd like to just consider you, have you consider this, you know, if it all works out. No, they're commands, but it's not just a command in the sense of do this or whatever. I call it an invitational obedience. Like, come and obey these commands because it's the best thing. We sang about the goodness of God. He's so good. He's so loving and kind, and he has our best intentions in mind. He longs for us not to be passive, but passionate. And so they are an invitation to obedience. The key to all of this is encountering Jesus. It's not just doing something, hopefully he'll show up, but I believe it comes when we encounter him, that he ignites a fire in us, And in other words, we want to be baptized, as it says he came to do, in his love, in his fire, in his passion for us, be overwhelmed by the love of God through the Holy Spirit. There are several 3:16 passages in the New Testament that are very vital. Obviously, John 3:16, Colossians 3:16 is wonderful, Ephesians, you could name them all. They're all really good. But Luke 3:16, it says, John the Baptist said, I've been baptizing with water, but he's coming, the one that's coming is going to baptize with the spirit of holiness and with raging fire. Just want to repeat that. When Ruth was on staff many years ago in the early 80s in Vancouver at 10th Avenue Church, I was attending Regent College, we got to meet these two older ladies in 10th Avenue Alliance Church. One was the mother. She was in her early 90s. So back in 1982, 83, that means she was born a long time ago from now. And interesting thing about her is that she was so old that, and she lived in the States originally, she got to meet and hear A.B. Simpson, the founder of our movement. You want to reach out and say, can I touch you? You saw her, him. She came from Maine, and they had these amazing missions conferences in a conference area in a park or a forested area, Old Orchard Beach, Maine. That was an interesting thing about her. Another thing is we got to grandma sit her for a couple of weeks while her daughter went to the States, and we found out that they love to drink the water when they've cooked vegetables. They don't just throw it down the sink. They keep it, and they drink it. I thought, maybe that's the secret of being 95 years old and still doing really well. But the other thing I remember about these ladies is that, especially with the grandma, when you had a cup of tea or coffee and it was getting a little lukewarm, they would both say, can we hottie that up for you? We've been quoting these ladies for 35 years. Can I hottie that up for you? Not can I warm that, top it off. Can I hottie that up for you? Well, I don't want to be sacrilegious, and don't misunderstand me, but I believe the way of righteousness and the way that Jesus said, I want to baptize you in the spirit of holiness and with raging fire, you could say the spirit of holiness and the spirit of haughtiness. He wants us to be so hot, so on fire, so raging with passion for himself because he loves us so much. And he's the only one that can ignite that in our hearts. The vision that Isaiah had, Isaiah chapter 6, a vision of God's holiness, changed his life. In the year that Uzziah died, I saw the Lord and I heard these angels singing, holy, holy, holy. He was undone by that. He repented and he fell before the Lord and how holy he was. And then in that moment of repentance, and I think repentance is often the seedbed for revival, the angel came, brought that coal, burning coal from the altar, and touched his lips, and he was changed forever. Again, understand me, the spirit of haughtiness. Like he was so undone by God's holiness, but he became so passionate. And then the Lord says, and who can I send? Who will go? And Isaiah says, here am I, send me. So the passion of the living God touching him and burning away the sin and bringing his own passion to bear on his life. So we've been learning over the years with these young adults what does it take to keep this fire burning. I've had many encounters with the Lord over the years and just so want to keep that fire burning. As Ruth said, we don't want to let the fire go out in the temple. We want to nurture his presence, host him. And so I don't have it listed on the screen, but if you're making notes or can just grab onto one of these things, I'm going to fire seven encouragements, seven ideas how we can maintain this fire, how we can keep this fire going. Number one, deal quickly with sin. Don't, as it says in 1 Thessalonians, don't quench the Holy Spirit. Don't put him out with our sin. Deal quickly with sin. He's willing to forgive us. Number two, guard your heart and mind. Our kids, when they were growing up and living in Germany, I'd come in and my office and guest room and TV room was all in one. So sometimes I'd come in and they'd be watching a movie and it was a little seedy scene or a little bit too much whatever, and, oh, Dad, you came in. It's the only thing in the whole movie that's like that. You had to come in right now, of course. And I would just say to them, oh, this can wage war against your soul. Just be careful, you guys. Now, they would kind of, oh, Dad, you're so careful. Well, now they're adults and they're parents, and now they're saying the same things to their kids. So it seems to be right. Guard your heart and your mind. Number three, seek to create a worship atmosphere in your home, in your car, and in your head. We always, it's not a ritualistic thing, a religious thing, but we try and create an atmosphere of worship. We love other kinds of music, but we often have worship music playing in our home or when we're driving or just listening, you know, in your own head, just having the scripture, having verses, having the presence of God just present in your life. Number four, foster a life of prayer, especially with others. Some of us, we really struggle to pray on our own, but make yourself accountable to someone. Even phone them. Hey, could we phone once a week and just pray for 5 minutes, 10 minutes? Encourage you to pray with other people. Number five, read the word. Ask for a spirit, as it says in Ephesians. Ask for the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Asking him to stir a longing in our hearts to hear from him. Not just read for the sake of reading, but let him speak to you. Read hungry and expectant. Number six, tell God stories to each other. Stories of what God has done stirs faith, stirs passion, stirs expectancy. God wants to do that in our lives. And number seven, become a family, become a church of burning hearts. Is there anyone here this morning whose name is Lisa? I've asked this in quite a few churches. Nobody has a name Lisa. It's a lovely name. How many of you watch CTV News and often watch Lisa LaFlamme? You know her name means Lisa the Flame? Okay. We're catching this. I don't have any, I have a few nicknames, but none of them have to do with fire. But I would want to trust that our lives would be so fiery, so passionate for God, that people would say, Pat, where's Pat, the guitarist? Pat the Flame. Okay, the Calgary Flames, maybe the North Shore Flames. I don't know if there's a team over here. But I'm just praying that we would be so overwhelmed by God's holiness, that we would encounter his passion for us. We're so overwhelmed by how loving he is towards us. We'd be have such a passion for him, for others, and even for the nations, and become a church even more on fire. The country of Azerbaijan in Central Asia is known as the land of fire. It has many rich resources of natural gas, and apparently there's even a kind of a gazebo protecting this thing, but apparently there's one flame that's been burning for 4,000 years. It's like the geysers of in one of the parks down in the States. But this flame has been burning for 4,000 years. It's known as the land of fire. And I believe that the next move of God across Canada, around the world, is going to need believers, every one of us, who are on fire, who are so passionate for God, and because we're designed to carry fire. And Jesus is the ultimate fire starter. And I'm just praying that he would burn in our hearts. He would ignite and keep this fire going and in us and around us and with us. And he's the only one that can really help us keep the fire going. We can cooperate with him. But I believe, as the one song says, for the sake of the world, burn like a fire in me. Would you stand with me as we come to a conclusion in prayer? And I'm going to pray a prayer phrase by phrase that, if it would help you, you don't have to pray this, but it's a prayer of that would just describe our desire for God's Holy Spirit to burn in us. And if it would help you, just put your hand on your heart and say, God, this is my prayer this morning. So phrase after phrase, just pray with me. We worship you, Holy God. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we welcome your holy presence. We give you our total allegiance. We submit to you, our loving King. Come and show us your glory. Overwhelm us with your holiness. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. Make us to be a holy people. Purge us and cleanse us. And come like a raging fire. Fuel our hearts. Immerse us in your love. With your passion. Set our hearts on fire. Give us burning hearts for you. For your people. For those around us. For the nations. May we become a church on fire. We pray this, Jesus, in your passionate name. Amen. Please be seated. There's a young man, Ruth and I love to listen to his music. It's maybe already 20 years old. His name is Evan Earwicker. And he has one song I've listened to in the last while called Overwhelm Me. And the line he uses is from Revelation chapter 1. Overwhelm me with the fire in your eyes. Overwhelm me with the fire in your eyes. This comes from Revelation 1, the vision of Jesus that John had. And he said his eyes were like blazing fire. And as we come to the communion table this morning, the cross, we have this symbol here, and the elements are here before us, the broken body represented in the bread or the crackers, his shed blood for us. The cross is the best evidence of God's holiness. He is a holy God. He has to deal with sin. And he's so loving, and he so wants our fellowship. He had to deal with sin that sin that separates us from God, that he would take care of it because he wants to restore the relationship with us that Adam and Eve had in that original garden scene. Sin had to be dealt with. He is a holy God. But he's so passionate for a relationship with us, and he wants to reconcile us. And this he did at the cross, and we remember today as we partake, and his broken body, his blood shed for us. And as you come, I believe it's your tradition to start from the back. There'll be three serving places here, at least on the main floor, to come and partake and to give thanks as you come that Jesus died for us. He dealt with our sin issue, and he welcomes us. He wants to forgive us and come into our lives. That as you do that, that you would also ask him, Lord, give me a vision of your holiness. I want to live a holy, passionate life. I don't want to play around with sin. You paid such a huge cost, a huge price on the cross. Some of you may have seen that film, The Passion of Christ, came out years ago. My son and I, we went to see the film in Mannheim in Germany. And we were just speechless when the film was over. We went to the car. We drove for about 10 minutes on the way home. And the only words I could get out of my mouth is after seeing how brutal it was, what Jesus did for us, suffered for us, went to that cross, the only words I could get out of my mouth to my son was, after seeing that, I never want to sin again. All he did for us. And so let the love of Christ burn in your heart today as you come with thanksgiving in your heart, seeing the blazing fire of his love towards you, all that he did to make reconciliation with us. Come with thanksgiving and ask him to see the fire in his eyes of love for you.